Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and we're going to do something a little different on this episode. Pat Connaughton and his childhood best friend and current business partner over at Three Leaf, and my good friend Joe Stanton came on the show. It was a two-part episode back in 2022. They told some great stories from the 21 finals, including what happened the night and days after defeating the Suns, trying to fly commercially with the Larry O'Brien trophy and getting it through security, as well as partying with Bill Clinton at Mark Lazary's place in the Hamptons. Since we've got a lot of new listeners over the past couple of years who have never heard these stories, and because the Bucks are in the playoffs right now, I thought it would be timely to take those stories and piece together a little episode. If you want to listen to the full episodes, those are linked in the show notes as well. Also, shout out to Joe, who had a baby girl recently with his beautiful wife, Erin, and also bought a house, so he's no longer in the apartment that he mentioned in the episode. Just a guy winning at life right now, Joe Stanton, and good luck to PC and the rest of the guys against Indiana and in the playoffs the rest of the way. We're pulling for you. Also, just a reminder that Milwaukee Uncut is produced by Storymark Studios in partnership with On Milwaukee and presented by Nicolet Law, the Midwest's law firm, and Central Standard Distillery. If you are enjoying some drinks, we recommend Central Standard Distillery. Go Bucks, and let's dive in with Pat and Joe.
All right, let's go to the championship. What was that like, that moment?
It was incredible. I mean, I think the coolest part about the championship that you don't see from the outside is the journey of the championship, right? It's not like the Super Bowl. It's a seven-game series. There's ups, there's downs. Obviously, we made it very difficult on ourselves throughout the entire playoffs by going down 0-2 to Brooklyn, going down 0-1 to Atlanta, going down 0-2 to Phoenix. So we didn't make it easy for ourselves, but I think the cool part about it was that we were able to get over the hump, was that we were able to come together through the face of adversity, win it at home. And, you know, when the confetti starts falling, you know you won it, but you're so into it. Like, that Brooklyn series felt like it was a month and a half. It was 2 weeks. Each series was roughly 2 weeks. So when you end that final game six, you're almost like, who do we have next? Like, who's next? Like, you're just so ingrained in it. And to finally kind of get to that mountaintop, to finally like do it. And again, shared experiences, right? I mean, almost the exact same group from the dunk contest was at the game six. You know, Joe was there, our buddy Joe Curvis was there, Crotty was there, my parents were there. Like, we almost had the exact same group. So to have them be able to come down on the floor afterwards, to have them be able to, you know, Joe's still got the confetti. He sleeps with it every single night and under his pillow. Like, he's cherishing the moments as much as I am. And that's what's fun about it. And my mom, to see her, you know, my dad had a great line. Like, you take a picture with a trophy at the end of the, at the end of the game, like later on, a few minutes, hours after media, all that sort of stuff. And so I gave my mom the trophy to hold, and she was on cloud nine, and my dad's immediate comment was like, "Don't drop it, Sue." And so, like, she gets really nervous, but she's happy at the same time. So to see those facial reactions from the people that have been there since day one, and to have them be able to share in those experiences, it's really what makes it. I mean, obviously, I want to have success. I want to continue to work hard. I have all these other things that I, you know, can get better at and want to accomplish. But to have them be a part of it along the way, I think, puts it in perspective.
Really quick, I just like to interject. I want to upkeep the image a little bit. I do not sleep with the confetti under the pillow, but I did take confetti from, I mean, you have to. I mean,
where is the confetti?
Yeah, where is it then?
It's in my apartment somewhere. I can't reveal
under
the
pillow.
Not under the pillow, but I can't reveal the location. I mean, this is going to be broadcast to the public. I don't want anyone breaking into my apartment and stealing it.
What was that first night like after winning? What was the party like? Where did that go on to?
It was a blast. I mean, you have such memorable moments. I think the Bobby Portis and I interview was hilarious. That obviously went viral. You got dinner afterwards. We did it at Harbor House. It was just a team. It was really fun. Families were included. I don't even know where we went afterwards. I know we were up until like 7 a.m. I know that next day was kind of a blur. I think Joe, myself, our buddy Kirk, and Joe's wife, Erin, went to
Red, White, and Blue.
To Blue.
That's Joe's favorite spot.
No, we went to Blue Bat Taqueria.
Yeah.
Which was for a little late lunch.
Honestly, it was just like, we just sat on the deck outside. We just won a championship. The next day, you see the four of us just sitting on the deck, and it's just kind of like you basking in it, right? You're just kind of, wait, was that real? Let's talk about it. Or discussions, or people walk by, kind of like give you a double glance, like, wait a minute, is that?
Yeah, there was a few. Yeah. I was going to say, there was a few lucky people who happened to be getting lunch at 2:45 when we were there at Blue Bat, who were like, God, is that Pat? They just won the championship like last night. I got to go up. I got to get a picture. I got to tell them congrats. Blah, blah. So we had a lot of that at lunch, which was pretty funny. But yeah, like you said, I mean, the party was crazy. And for me, as like, you know, from a fan's perspective and from, you know, being his friend, we obviously, like you said, had a good crew there. And, you know, just the whole celebration was surreal. I mean, we went from, you know, being there at the game, which is obviously the coolest part, but then it just kept getting, you know, better and better. I mean, they were like, oh yeah, you guys can come down to the floor and celebrate with the team. And so we went down and did that, and the confetti's falling. I'm scooping up confetti and filling up my pockets, as we've already discussed.
We're going to get so many messages for confetti sales after this podcast, Dave.
I know.
I'm telling you, the confetti is going to be an underrated thing. There's only a finite amount of the pieces of the floor. Exactly. There's only two nets. There's only, what else can you sell? There's only so many sneakers that were worn in that final game.
Exactly.
Confetti has more supply.
But so we did all that. And then, you know, they're like, all right, yeah, you know, after the celebration on the floor, hey, we can go back to, you know, go back to the locker room. And so we celebrated in the locker room, and then we went down and got to,
yeah, you guys were in the locker room. I didn't even make it back to the locker room.
Yeah, we actually,
I got pulled
it
to media, and yeah, they're in the locker room.
We
celebrating.
Celebrated
I'm doing
by
media.
Pat's locker in the locker room. He wasn't even there, but that's
in my honor.
Yep. No worries. And then, we ended up going down further down the hall, took pictures with the trophy. And I mean, just like you said, went out to dinner after up until 6 or 7 in the morning. I mean, it was a night, obviously, we'll never forget.
It was really, really tell them about the parade though. Like that's where we had probably our most fun aside from winning.
True.
Like the parade, we did our own thing.
That was probably the cherry on top. And then they say, yeah, you know, the friends and family are going to be able to come on the float or come on the bus with the guys. And we were like, oh my gosh, we get there the day of the parade. We jump on the bus. We get a prime spot right in front, double decker bus. And we're riding through the street. Obviously there's hundreds of thousands of people there. And early on the parade route, like right before it started, someone tossed up a football. And they're like, we want to toss back. And like, no, keep it. And we were like, all right, sweet. This is actually perfect. So we gave the football to PC. And throughout the entire parade route, he was just throwing dimes to people in the crowd. And they were catching them and throwing it back. And it was a good back and forth with the fans.
And then what it turned into?
Yeah, then it turned into people like, hey, well, you saw my jersey. And I'm standing like just behind Pat, and I'm just calling for everything. Throw it all. Like, so people are throwing up jerseys, catching them. Pat's got a Sharpie. He's signing it quick. And then I'm balling it back up and throwing it to the person. It was actually a lot of pressure. You got to remember who
it's
threw
moving.
You the jersey.
And yeah, it's moving. The float's like, moving. And I don't got the shortest last name. I mean, I don't got the longest last name on the team, which is obvious, but right. I don't got the shortest one either.
Right. It's tough. And then you don't want to throw it to the wrong person or, you know, have a fight ensue in the crest. So, but no, it all.
Lot to worry about.
Well. I know it is. High pressure.
I think Noah, trainer at F45, I don't know if you know him or not, he was one of the crazy guys who took his jersey off and threw it at you and you signed it.
Was it successful?
Yeah.
100%. And then look, we had multiple things going. Like Joe might have started it. Our other buddy Joe was on the other side doing the exact same thing. My dad was on the other side that got a few thrown at him. So we kind of had like a few different, what I would call storefronts going on every side of the thing.
Oh, for sure.
Joe, if you want to talk about partying with Bill Clinton or transporting the Larry O'Brien trophy from Milwaukee to PC's house
for
on
sure,
the East
yeah.
Coast last minute.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I got a couple good stories on that. So back to the championship celebration. So we got invited. I say we. Pat got invited, and I was fortunate enough to be invited by him to the Lazarus.
That's nice of you to say. I thought even on the Blue Bat thing, you were going to say how people were really like, is that Joe Stanton? Can
yeah,
I get a,
no,
can I get
no.
a picture
my,
with
my
Joe?
Rep's not that big in Milwaukee yet. I'm hoping maybe one day.
You're gonna be the E of Milwaukee after this podcast. He was a pretty prolific figure on Entourage.
Yeah, true. I guess I'd take that. So
confetti man.
So yeah, so we get invited to this party at Lazarus. So he's got this mansion right on the water. And we show up to the party and we walk in. Again, keep in mind, I keep hitting on two kids from Arlington. We walk in and we see two Ferraris parked on the front lawn. So I was kind of the first alarm going off in my head, like, Jesus, like where are we? This is bananas. So we walk
and
in.
As a real estate guy, Joe's very concerned, like the lawn. Like what are we doing? Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's gonna be a cost,
I mean,
to fix the lawn.
100%.
Like, well, come on now. We create value. Yeah,
maybe as much as one of the tires.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
So we walk in to see that. It's crazy. I mean, the house is beautiful. We're walking around the backyard. He's got this whole, you know, catered thing put together, and the trophy's there too, just sitting there, you know, on its own table with a bunch of championship hats around it. People are going up, taking pictures. It was probably, I don't know, just like 75 people or so there. But the craziest thing as I was walking around the party, kind of exploring the backyard and just taking it all in, I was with, my wife was there too. We were walking around and we were just like, I keep noticing like these security guys, like,
and there were rumors. There were rumors. Peter had rumors.
There
were
some rumors.
There might be
like
someone of importance.
Some high profile people. So when we walk in, Adam Silver was there. Obviously, you know, Pat's there. Bobby Portis was there. Coach Bud was there. So there's definitely some high profile people there. But the security seemed like, at the time when I'm walking around, seemed like such overkill. We got guys with earpieces everywhere walking all over the party. They're wearing these like nice suit coats.
And mind you, this is a guy coming from the NBA dunk contest where he had two security guys driving him around
right.
all the time.
So,
he
has
some
security.
Experience. Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
So I'm just very impressed with this whole operation. With the security guys coming out of the bushes. I mean, there's
boats.
Guys out. Yeah, there's guys. There's two boats off of the coast, just like sitting out there, like watching the party. And I'm like, wow, this is like crazy. Like, what? I don't understand this. But anyway, so the night keeps going on, and then I'm talking at a table eating some hors d'oeuvres with my wife, and all of a sudden she's facing the other way, and I'm looking right at her, and her jaw just drops. And I'm like, what? And she was like, turn around and look. And I turned around and President Bill Clinton was just showed up at the party. And people, like, they were pretty good about it. They didn't swarm him. Like, but anyway, he's, long story short, he's boys with Mark Lazary, and Mark had invited him to the championship party. So naturally, being, you know, the fanboy that I always am, I'm like, all right, I'll try to play it cool for right now. But I do eventually want to go over and chat with Bill and get my picture. So, sure enough, Pat had already met him before, but we went over.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that is actually a funny story too. But I guess we can touch on that while we're on the subject. So Pat had met him before at a game in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center.
Mark and him are close. So like they would go back a long time. And so Mark will bring him to the Barclays Center from time to time. And this was my first year in Milwaukee. And so I didn't know he was coming. I mean, you see him courtside, right? But I didn't know he was coming before. And so he's at the game or whatever. And just before, I have a, you know, great relationship with Mark. It's probably my second month on the team. It wasn't that far into the regular season. And so after the game, I have my routine. You know, I do a little workout in ab circuit, get stretched, do some PT, ice the knees, and then I jump in the shower and I get ready. And I usually come out and say hi to people. Like, I got a bunch of friends from Brooklyn, Notre Dame connections. I got a bunch of people that come from Boston. It's not that far of a drive, right? So I jump in the shower pretty quickly, and I come out of the shower and I'm standing there in a towel, and Mark goes to me, hey, you want to meet President Clinton? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, all right, well, he's about to leave, so you got to do it right now. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I turn to my right, and he's standing there talking to Giannis. So Mark grabs him and pulls him over. And he was like, President, he introduces me. I'm standing there in a towel. I got nothing else on. And I'm like, Mr. President, how are you? And I'm like shaking his hand. This is obviously before I had a broken one. And I'm shaking his hand. And then Mark was like, let's get a photo. Like, let's get a picture of you guys. And I'm like, I would love it. Do you think I should put some clothes on first? And he's like, look, he's got to go. Like, get a shirt. So someone threw me my shirt, which was just this white shirt. So I'm in a white towel, a white shirt, and I'm standing there, and there's a picture of me shaking the president's hand. We're both looking at the camera, and all I'm in is a towel. Now, granted, way better than not having a shirt on as well, but it's
hilarious
photo, because when you look at it right away, you see a shirt on me. So you don't really think a whole lot of it. But then, like, you look at the photo and you're like, Are you in a towel shaking President Clinton's hand? And
when
like,
he sent it to me, I had that exact. I was like, wait a minute, like what is going on here? So it was,
yeah. So I've met him. He's come to Milwaukee once or twice, I think. He's been in Brooklyn almost at each game that we're in Brooklyn. And so I've met him a few times. And so at the party, I'll let Joe finish the story. But at the party, you know, Mark's big thing. Like Bobby had talked to him, both from Arkansas, right? So they were hitting it off there. And Mark wanted me to come over and meet him because I'm sure part of his reason for going is to be able to see some of the players because he's a basketball fan, et cetera. So I didn't see Joe and Aaron. I didn't pass by the table that they were standing at with Aaron's jaw on the grass, but I was over there like kind of shaking hands, and I see them kind of like making their way over, which was perfectly played by Joe.
Yeah. So perfect timing. So we kind of walk up.
Move.
Yeah. We walk up, all
not
of
his
us
first rodeo. He's met plenty of
all of us together, and, just got him at the perfect time. And we went right up and just went right in, and I forget, honestly, I think I blacked out when I was meeting him. Leading up to it, I'm like, what the hell am I going to say to this guy? Like, obviously, he's way, you know, so much smarter than me. So what am I possibly going to say? So I went up, just shook his hand, said, you know, it was an honor to meet him. And then basically, I think I asked him a question about the Bucks.
No, saying, he threw me under the bus for some reason, right? You said, oh, if you had made some more shots, maybe it wouldn't have been as close.
Oh, yeah. I think it was something to do with the Bucks and PC. So we got him to laugh.
Crack a joke, warm him up.
Exactly.
This guy knows what he's doing.
We had somebody ripping photos. Like, I don't know who it was. Ryan Hoover. Yeah. Greatest guy ever.
Yep.
Ripping photos. So he sends me all the photos afterwards. And we took like a real photo of him as well, which Joe knew or whatnot. And we had Hoover do it. But the funniest photos are the ones where Joe's in the midst of conversation with him, because he's like, as he's talking and President Clinton's like actually talking to him. And then there's one candidate of all of us laughing, and it's just really, it's priceless.
Yeah. So it was a wild, wild story that definitely, that was probably one of the best things from the championship run, maybe aside from, the trip with the Larry O.
Yeah. Can you touch on that quick? When you needed the trophy to celebrate with your family at home, you get it for a couple of days and it's in Milwaukee and you're not there.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, It's a short off season, right? So it's not like the Stanley Cup. You know, I got a good buddy who I worked out with, Connor Sherry, back home, who won it with the Penguins. Might have won it twice, actually. Everyone gets a few days with a cup or a week with a cup. That's not really how the NBA trophy works, but you can like take it. You can ask for it. Like, it's just kind of like an unwritten thing. Like, if you want it, if you want to take it home, whatever, you can do it. But with a short and off season, it's a little bit harder to coordinate. Granted, you guys just heard all of the things we've done, and that's in the span of like a week after the finals, right? We also took a trip to Florida to take some time out. We did a bunch of stuff, but point being, I wanted at some point to bring the trophy home. Like, I wanted it to be the place where I learned how to play basketball, Fidelity House. I thought it'd be really cool to bring it there. Like, all the people and places that kind of helped me get here. One of the things I always say, and I have a chain that says family over everything, but that's not just blood relatives, right? Like, families for me, anybody who I consider to be family. And so I know I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for those people and places that helped get me here. So to be able to, again, shared experience and bring that Larry O'Brien trophy back, I know all those people their jaws will be on the floor with Aaron, right? So for me, I wanted to try to coordinate it. And so we finally got a way to coordinate it on Labor Day weekend. Problem is, I'm already home. And so I was talking to the trophy coordinator with the Bucks on like how to get it done, and their big thing is they don't just want to ship the Larry O'Brien trophy, right? Like, they don't necessarily want it in other people's hands to just kind of go about. In a perfect world, they send somebody with it. In this instance, the person that they had been sending with the trophy had been doing it for like a month and a half, because we had won it mid of July, and now it's September, so they were going to take a few days off. Also, Joe's gotten to know people within the Bucks organization very well. And so I kind of just gave them the idea, hey, if need be, like, Joe's there, he's going to be coming home anyway for the weekend. Like, I don't know the protocol, but if you guys are comfortable with it, like, I'm sure he'd be up for it. So I called him and asked, and he goes, sure, what does that even mean? And essentially,
I get the call, and like, a little side story on that too. I get the call. I mean, it's, I don't know, probably Tuesday, like the before Labor Day weekend. And I'm like working, and I just get a random call like middle of the afternoon. And he's like, hey, would you be comfortable bringing the Larry O'Brien trophy home to Massachusetts? Like, you got to travel with it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? Like, I think you're breaking up. I don't know what, like, what are you saying? And so he asked me, and I was like, I mean, obviously, of course I said yes. And I mean, the story from there was so absurd. We basically coordinate going to pick it up. And then I had to coordinate with the Bucks on purchasing an actual seat for the trophy. So under Larry O'Brien's name. So we get the tickets purchased, and, you know, I show up to the airport super early. I got to get it privately screened, like, by TSA. And the guys, like, didn't believe me when I first said, like, I'm traveling. It's in this, like, massive, like, 100-pound, like, bulletproof case. Like,
yeah, and fire resistant. Like, yeah, the padlocks on it. Like, this is going to sound horrible. It looks like it's a bomb. It looks like it's a massive bomb. Like, Joe looks like he's wheeling around a bomb in the middle of the airport. Like, that just is what it is. Like, we didn't say that to anybody, obviously, especially not in the airport, but that's kind of what it looks like. And so handling the protocol for him was hilarious because of that exact thing.
Yeah. The amount of dirty looks I was getting. And so anyway, we get to the airport and I'm like, yeah, I got like the NBA championship trophy in this case. Like, I'm trying to whisper it to the guy, like, hey, we got to get this, you know, can I get this privately screened? I don't want to whip out the Larry O'Brien in the security line. So they're like, yeah, for sure. So they take, you know, me to some back room, and go in there with a couple of different TSA guys. We open up the case, and literally, I'll never forget this, open up the case, and the guy just goes, holy shit. Just like that. Like, couldn't believe that it was actually the trophy. And so we take it out, like they got gloves on, they're inspecting.
Like, why would Joe lie about that? Like, what what exactly could it have been?
Right.
If he wasn't the trophy.
So they look at the whole, you know, look at the case and everything, and then they ask me, like, you know, very nicely, can we take pictures with it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So they grabbed a few pictures of their own holding the trophy in their TSA uniforms. But so then we end up getting through that and jump on the plane. And then I had to
first, I got to interrupt for a second. The funniest part I saw about it, or I heard about it, I wasn't on the first trip, was once he got through security, he's walking through the airport with this thing being wheeled behind him, right? And the guy who helped him get through security gave him his card and said, hey, if you have any problems, let me know. Like, I handled it. He kind of headed up TSA. So Joe gets to the terminal to go on the plane. And the funniest part is, like, it's still a unique thing, right? Nobody expects that to ever be a thing. So when he tries to check in, the people are like, that can't go on the plane. That's got to go underneath the plane. And Joe's like, no, this can't go underneath the plane. And Joe's like, I got a seat for it. And they're like, what? So he has like two tickets. It's him and the trophy. It's like if it was him and Aaron, but it's him and the trophy. He's got two tickets. He scans both tickets and they're still like, what's in it? Like, I don't, like, that doesn't sit right, which I don't discredit them for that. Like, that makes sense. But Joe's over here in a position where he's like, well, I don't want everybody to know what it is, because at the end of the day, once I get to Boston, everyone's going to want to take a photo with the whole plane's going to be passing around the Larry O'Brien trophy. It's going to be like Soul Plane. And so I think the funniest part to me was now he has to explain the story again to the people checking him in. They don't believe him. Finally, they let him in on the plane. Now the flight attendant doesn't believe him. She doesn't want to let him on the plane. He has to explain it to her. They move him up to first class, let the thing sit next to him in first class. Has to get a seatbelt extender because you have to strap it in. It doesn't fit in the seat, so he puts it on the ground in the seat. And now he's sitting there next to him with this case that looks somewhat like a bomb in the first seat of the plane as everybody's walking by him on the plane, like, what is going
multiple
on here?
People stopped and are like, what is in that case? And so
I don't want to be on this plane anymore.
Yeah, so like he said, I didn't want to scare anyone, and two, I didn't want to reveal what was actually inside. So I was making up like these ridiculous, I was changing it up for every single person who asked, what's in that case? I'm like, oh, it's my trumpet. They're like, oh, what's in this case? Like, just making up all these things. And people were just like, oh, interesting. And just walk by. So we ended up successfully getting it there, but it was a hilarious story. And then I think the funniest part of all too, was once we arrive, we get off and he was supposed to pick me up actually, but he was, I don't know what he was doing. I think he was golfing or something and was running a little late. So he's like, oh, hey, I'm not gonna be able to get you. So my mom had to come and pick me up. And I'm like, hey, I'm at the airport and I have the Larry O'Brien trophy with me. Can you come pick me up? So she came pick me up. We just tossed it in the back seat and then drove home and met Pat at my house. But it was pretty, it was a fun trip.
Yeah. And that's like, look, it was the same exact thing. On the flight back, Joe, Aaron, and myself, and I guess now you got to include the trophy because there's four people traveling according to the tickets. Fly back and like me and Aaron sit next to each other and Joe sits next to the trophy. We let him stay in charge of it because he's had experience with it. He throws on his black shades during the flight, throws his hat on low, and he's sitting there like this. He looks like a security guard with the trophy. Like, he looks so serious. We got great photos of it. But like, I think some of the funniest parts are like Joe's godson, his nephew, like the Larry O'Brien trophy comes home. He was what, three at the time?
Yeah.
And the trophy's cool. He can see himself in it. It's whatever. He loves the box. You open up the box, it's got a cutout of the trophy. That's where you stick the trophy. And obviously it's got padding all around it. You take the trophy out, he fits in the cutout of the trophy in the box. So we take the trophy out. Everyone's like, ooh, ah, at his house. Like, everyone's pumped about it, etc. My man Connor is laying in the box in the exact way the trophy is fit in the box. Like, oh my God, look at me. This is the best thing ever. So it's just funny how like things work and how much, you know, obviously people enjoyed seeing the trophy, but some people enjoyed seeing the box.
Thank you for tuning into this episode with Pat and Joe. Good luck to the Milwaukee Bucks the rest of the way. If you want to support Milwaukee Uncut, please subscribe and write a review and share this with friends. That means a lot and helps grow the show. Milwaukee Uncut is produced in the heart of Walker's Point at Storymark Studios in partnership with On Milwaukee and presented by Nicolet Law and Central Standard Distillery.